Okay, Parshas Ve'eschanan is a very important parasha because I think Moshe Rabbeinu gives us a very important lesson for life. Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us how to daven. Beginning of the parasha, the pasuk tells us Ve'eschanan al Hashem Be'isahi. Moshe Rabbeinu davens for a desire, for a request to enter into Eretz Yisrael. We know the famous Gematria, Ve'eschanan is Gematria 515, and he davens and he beseeches HaKadosh Baruch Hu for permission to enter into Eretz Yisrael. And we all know the ending of the pasuk. The pasuk says he was denied. Hashem tells him no more. Stop talking about it. Al toisev daber elai oit. That's it. Case closed. It's like when your kids ask you for something, you tell them, listen, case is closed. When my kids do that, I say, case closed. Go ask your grandparents for it. That's where I end off the conversation. But it's over. That's it. You're not getting it from me. And that's the end of the conversation. So Rabbi Asher Weiss points out in the Sefer Menachos Asher that the answer was no. Moshe Rabbeinu was turned down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu got a no from Hashem. So how exactly are we, what should we take away from this message? So I think step number one we need to take away is that Moshe Rabbeinu davened 515 times. Most of us will daven 5 times, 7 times. We'll give it 50. Okay, we want something really bad, we'll go 100. But you know, by the 476th, and you get a no, at some point you're like, okay, forget it, I'm just giving up. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't give up. Moshe Rabbeinu continued until he was told by Hashem, you have no longer permission to continue davening. The Mefarshim say, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have got that 516th tefillin, it would have been answered. But he had no permission to say, because Hashem said, don't talk anymore. So Moshe Rabbeinu stopped. But we would have just given up. Like, you know, it's not going. And like, sometimes, you know, we would have went over to Moshe Rabbeinu, we say, Moshe Rabbeinu, we love you dearly. Move on to something else. It's, you know, you have only a few days left in this world. I would suggest you take on, a different project. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't give up because Moshe Rabbeinu really cared about something. And Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching us, if you really care about something and you really want something, don't give up. Keep on davening for it. Until you're told from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not happening. And since most of us don't get that type of nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we just keep on davening. Even though we weren't answered the first time, the third time, the 20th time, the 50th time, we keep going. Because Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us that if you want something bad enough, and it's important enough to you, you just keep going. You keep davening, and you keep begging, and you keep pleading, and you always hope that there'll be a Yeshua. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu continues to daven for something, even though he was, relatively speaking, rejected 515 times, 514 times. The answer is no, Moshe, no, Moshe, no, Moshe. Keeps at it. You know, the problem today is, and this is, I try to work with the youth, they don't have the sense of the importance of davening. You know, often kids ask, should I daven for this, should I daven for this? I always tell them, daven for whatever you want. Because I want you to at least grow up with the relationship between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu of davening. Right? As we get older, our tefillahs get more mature. Like when we're younger, we daven to play third base for the Yankees. Then after a while, we realize it's not happening, so we move on to something bigger. We daven for a good job, we daven for shidduch, we daven for health, we daven for nachas. Obviously, our things, you know, we mature. But the idea of having a kid daven for something as small as that, I think is important. Our kids always ask, should they daven to do well on tests? Of course. You should also study, because davening doesn't replace studying. And I love those guys, you know, they put the book under their pillow hoping it's going to work somehow. None of that works, trust me, I've tried it all in yeshiva. None of it works. You got to actually study. But to daven is great, because through davening you're building a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us, if you want something bad enough, you really care about it. And Moshe cared about Eretz Yisrael. He loved the idea of being able to go into Eretz Yisrael and being able to do mitzvahs at Tlius Baritz. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu continued to daven. And even though the answer was no. What do you mean the answer was no? How can the answer be no? The answer is explained to Rabbi Asher Weiss that even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us no, it's not a real no. Where we look at a no from HaKadosh Baruch Hu as, you know, the email was rejected, it goes into spam mail. There's no tefillah that goes into spam mail. It's received. Where it goes is not our job. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts the tefillahs and decides where it should go is not our job. But it was received. Now, you don't like the answer. That's okay. You don't like the answer. But to think for a second that tefillahs were wasted and they went nowhere, we know that's not the case. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved those tefillahs and put them out when he felt necessary. So, Moshe Rabbeinu taught us in our own life when we daven for a certain thing and we don't get it. And it's very disappointing. You wanted this. You felt you deserved this. You felt you were the right person for this. Whatever it may be. And you get the answer no. So Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us the answer no is okay. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was so connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He viewed HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a father. When a person has a father-son relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which can only come about through tefillah. If you don't daven to Hashem, you're not going to have that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the answer is no, you say to yourself, okay Hashem, I trust you, you know what you're doing, you know me and this world a lot better than I do. So if the answer is no, this no is ultimately for my benefit. And we see that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Moshe Rabbeinu was told no. So what would have most of us been doing after we got that no. We would start complaining and screaming and having a retrial, bring a new defense team. Akash Baruch HaChutzpah. If there was ever a Jew who deserved entry into Eretz Yisrael, it's Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Medrash actually says this. The Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu came with such a claim to Akash Baruch HaChutzpah.
Take no for an answer
first. That's right. At some point, Moshe Rabbeinu concedes and says, okay, I'm going to move on. So Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us a second lesson. Not only daven for what you want, but you have to know how to concede when the answer is no also. Because sometimes in life, the answer is no. But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go all upset and all crazy and all yelling and screaming, because he understood that the no was a positive no. This was a good no. For whatever the reason was, that Moshe Rabbeinu was not allowed entry into Eretz Yisrael, it wasn't because of Moshe Rabbeinu's lack of relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but this was for Teyelis. This was the best.
Why didn't he accept no sooner?
Yeah. Because he still thought there was still hashtadlus. He thought he could still do his part. Once Hashem says it's over, then we have to accept that it's over. So since we don't have that often in life, sometimes there are certain realities people have to come in, you know, sometimes have to say, listen, if the job went to someone else, it's not coming to you, so you gotta move on, accept that this wasn't best for you. Why, what, how, who knows? But that's really what Emunah dictates. And the way a person grows their Emunah, I believe, is through tefillah. The more you daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu, even when the answer is no. But Moshe Rabbeinu taught us that even when the answer is no, and the answer is not what you wanted it to be, it's okay, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu has a plan, and it hurts, it stings, it's uncomfortable. But Moshe Rabbeinu taught us that that's a lesson that we have to learn as well. But then we find another interesting theme in the parsha. Baruch Simon points us out in the Sefer that there's two occurrences in this week's, in last week's parsha that are unique. One is the Aseres HaDibros, and one is the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And he points out that the Medrash tells us that Klal Yisrael could have not received the Torah at Matan Torah unless every single Jew was present. Every Jew. From all walks of life, from all denominations, everyone had to be present at Kabbalat HaTorah in order for Torah to be given. What's the pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? What's that pasuk? The Gemara tells us in Psachim that Yaakov Avinu, at the end of his life, he had 12 children, and they were very different. They were not all the same. He had Yisachar, was learning, Zebulun was a businessman, Shimon and Levi were a little bit wilder, right? They were different children, very different children, different styles, but they were all his children. And Yaakov Avinu wasn't sure exactly where they stand on the spectrum, so to say. Are they all from? Are they not from? Are they really from? Not so from? So they all declare to Yaakov Avinu this pasuk, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Says the Gemara Psachim, this was Yaakov's knowledge that they're all on the from, they're all on the derech, as we call it today, even though they're different and they have perhaps davened, dressed differently and they went to different yeshivas and they probably went to different camps and they have different jobs. It's okay. They're all under the banner of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So he points out Baruch Simon, he says that these two lessons are very important in this week's parsha. That we often think that our differences are going to be what divides us and therefore we cannot get along. But you see from that Aseres HaDibros that we couldn't have gotten the Torah unless we were all there. Who needs that Oisvarf to be there? Why do we need that guy who doesn't dress like me to be a Kabbalah Torah? He doesn't learn Torah anyways. Who needs him? Should only be the guys who dress like me and the guys who dive into my shul and the guys who follow my Rabbanim. The answer is no. Everyone counted. Just like every one of Yaakov Avinu's children were important, they were essential, even though they were very different. Yisachar learned and Zvulun didn't learn. He went to work. And Naftali was very fast and he ran missions, whatever it was. Everyone had a different purpose. But Yaakov Avinu realized that just being different is not a reason for us to be divided. If I can't, we embrace our individuality as long as we're all Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, as long as we're all doing the same thing. We're all focused under the same purpose. We're all under the same banner of serving our Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Chazal tells us that the third base of Mikdash is going to be Bezchus Yaakov Avinu. Because Yaakov Avinu was the first one to have a perfect family. Avram Avinu had his son with trouble, and Yitzchak had his son, but Yaakov Avinu was a perfect. Really perfect. They weren't all learning. Some of them worked, and some of the answers. That's not what perfection and imperfection is. Perfection is people that are realizing their purpose in life and following HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov was the 12 children that all did that. Different styles, different dress, probably. But as long as you have all the same purpose and everyone's trying to do the same thing, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is what I love. And perhaps that's why this is read Shabbos Nachamu. What's Shabbos Nachamu? What's the Nechama? The Nechama, I think, is that we come to this realization. We realize that despite our differences, we're all under the same banner of Ami. We're Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, we're Am Yisrael. We're all Am Yisrael, whether or not we think so. And sometimes it takes the tragedies for us to learn that. Right? We spend time over Tisha B'Av reading through the Kinnis, and hopefully one took out of it what one should take out of the Kinnis and all the different casualties that befell the Jewish people. And there's a common denominator in all of them. Not one of the evil oppressors in our history ever said, you know what, I'm only killing Orthodox Haredi Jews. That's it. I only want the Haredim, you know, the real right-wingers. Or I only want the Hasidim. But the modern guys and the left-wing guys, that's okay, they can stay alive. They never did that. Not a one. Not dating back to Haman, Amalek, you name them. Every single one of our oppressors never went and said, let me see, well, what type of tefillin do you put on? Oh, you put on Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam, you wear a shtrim. Okay, so you, that wasn't the way the selection used to go in the camps of how frum you were. That wasn't what the doctors cared about then. They don't care. So why should we care? So sometimes we read through the tragedies and we take a lesson, we say to ourselves, why should it matter our differences? If it doesn't matter to our enemies, then it shouldn't matter. And it doesn't matter to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it shouldn't matter to us. And that's the nechama that we accomplish in this Shabbos. When we read through Parashas Aschan, we realize that we're all it's okay to be different. That's fine. As long as we're keeping, you know, we're keeping the Torah. Obviously, if someone's making up their own new mahalach of how to serve Hashem, that's unacceptable. But as long as it's on what we call the spectrum, it's all one of the mahalachim. So this guy's a little bit more this way and that way, fine. You have your Messiah, that Messiah, your Chassidus, Lizrish, whatever it is. And that's why it's connected to Tu B'Av. What was Tu B'Av? The Gemara gives many reasons. But one of the reasons the Gemara gives is because we weren't allowed to marry into certain communities. And now we are allowed to marry into certain communities. The more we widen the pool of who we can interact with, the better off we are. When we're limiting ourselves to only my circle and my group and my friends and my people, that we're not really expressing Avas Yisrael. And we know Sinas Chinam was the thing that got us into trouble. How do we fix Sinas Chinam? By broadening our horizon, saying it's okay. I don't have to not like you because you don't look like me. I don't have to not like you because you don't dress like me. It's okay. You can look different and you can be different and I can love you and embrace you and we can still get along. And that's perhaps why we read Parashas V'Eschar and always Shabbos Nachamu, which often falls around the time of Tu B'Av. It's this realization that we needed all of us to get Kabbalah Satorah. There was no other way. We're just like Yaakov Avinu, we need all of us to be able to live in a world today. Everyone has to have different jobs. You can't have everyone doing one thing. If everyone just learns, no one's supporting. If everyone's supporting, no one's learning. That's the beauty of our society. We have so many different people doing different things. And we have to embrace our differences instead of looking down at those that are different and say, oh wow, look at him. No, fuck it. We need him. He's essential and he's essential and you're essential. We're essential. That's the lesson perhaps that we take away from this parsha as we read it directly right after commemorating and reliving the events of history, realizing our enemies and their impact on our lives. Okay, we're back over here in the Gemara. Let's start again from the Gemara number one. Zakti Gemara. The Gemara has an idea that Mila Doiches Atzeras. If a baby has a tzaras on its makam amila, normally there's a prohibition to cut off a tzaras, but if a baby has the tzaras is perfectly located right where the mila is, so the halacha is mila is doiches tzaras. The Gemara says, my timer. How do you know this? So the Gemara says, da'asi asei v'doiches lo isasei. Simple principle of asei doiches lo isasei. So the Gemara says, umay oy eina dekamar. But the Gemara told us that the Gemara wasn't so sure about this. The Gemara was back and forth. Do we apply the rule of asei doiches lo isasei or not? So what's the shailo? So the Gemara says, because when do we have a principle of asei dechel oisase? That's a loisase gereda. That's if it's just an asei up against the laf. But hi, when it comes to the isra of cutting off a tzaras, asei veloisase hu. It's not just an asei with a simple, again, the mila has the asei, the tzaras has the loisase. The Gemara says, no, but tzaras has a loisase and an asei. Aye, what are you talking about? So what do I do with the pasuk that says he's supposed to cut off the mila? That's when there is no tzaras that's contradictory to it. So the Gemara is not sure. Tamaloyim of besar. So we have a special because there's a custom in the word besar that teaches me v'yaf b'sheishon beharis that even if there's a beharis there, you should still cut it off. So according to the simple reading of the Gemara, what is the status of tzaras? Is tzaras an asay and a lois asay, or is tzaras just a lois asay? So pashup shat, you read the Gemara, it sounds like that tzaras is really both. It's an asay and a lois asay, and therefore you can't use the simple principle of asay deicha lois asay because it's not true. It's asay deicha lois asay ve'asay. So I need a special gzeres akasav of besar. Besar teaches me that even though under the regular rules of asay deicha lois asay, this would not fit. But there's a special gzeres akasav that says you're supposed to cut off the besar erlo even if there's tzaras. So the Gemara says, one second, teinach godl. That's all fine if you're talking about a godl. Why dichsiv b'hu baser? Because by a gadol who gives himself a meal after he's already beyond the 8 days old, it says the word besar. Katanam yichsiv when you give the baby who's 8 days, also it says besar. But beinoni minolan, what do you do with the baby in between? The in between 8 days and 20, or Rashi said 13, we spoke about that last week, 2 weeks ago. What do you do? There's no word besar. Some rabbi yaseh mi beinu mi gadol lo yaseh. You can't learn out from a gadol shekein einish karis because that has karis. Mi gadol lo yaseh shekein mila bezmano because there's something unique about a 8-day-old baby that he has mila bezmano zdeiche. So you use that to tzara shavish behem shekein imol lo yaseh tzaras. Both of them have a common denominator. They both get mila and they both deiche tzaras. Of course, shekein imol lo yaseh tzaras. Okay. So what do we have from the Gemara over here? So the Gemara says that tzaras, again, pashup shat in the Gemara, without any fancy lumdus, it comes out that mila is an asay, tzaras is a lois asay and an asay, and therefore you can't apply the rules of asay, deicha lois asay. If you just look all the way on the left corner, I photocopied for you the pasuk. The pasuk of Tzeras says, "Hishama b'negah Tzeras, lishmar ma'oid v'lasos k'chol asheyaru eschem akoyhanim alavim, kasha tzivisim tishmeru lasos." Be careful with a negah Tzeras, guard it, do whatever the kohanim and the levim tell you to do. So now, where do I see from this pasuk asay and alois asay? So if you look in Rashi, Rashi number 2 says, "Hay asay v'alois asay, hishomer lois asayhu." Wherever it says hishomer, guard, that's alois asay. V'lasos k'chol asheyaru. Then when it says in the pasuk, and do whatever the kohanim tell you, that's the asay. So if a zok Rashi, mila is an asay, tsaras is a lois asay ve'asay, therefore, ein asay deich lois asay ve'asay, therefore you need to come on to the exercise kasav of bisa. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. Yeah.
Would it help the fact that by mila, by certain times, it's also an asay and a lois asay?
Where's it a lois asay?
Isn't there a lot of times when it says, like, in oral, you're not allowed to eat, let's say, korban pesach, yeah, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed
that's,
to do that?
That's a din in the specific mitzvah. That's not a law of carrying on the lack of a mila. That's he's an oral, and therefore he can't do certain things. That's not a din in the mitzvah itself.
But it's not a din in the...
Right, it's not a din in the mila. So here, by tzaras, you have tzaras as a lav, and an asay. So, ein asay, deich alois asay, vasay. So that would be a simple reading of the Gemara. So then what's the Gzeiras HaKasav of Bisar? The Gzeiras HaKasav of Bisar is that even though it shouldn't be Doicha based on Asay Doicha Loisa, say, well, Gzeiras HaKasav. Rashi says it's an extra, the Gemara sounds like that, it's an extra word. It's a Riboy. The Riboy tells me you cut off the Tzeras. However, we mentioned 2 weeks ago that the Rambam Shita seems not to be like this. The Rambam writes in number 3, Mila bezmane deicha es Shabbos. Mila bezmane is deicha Shabbos. Ushaloi bezmane, if it's not bezmane, ene deicha lois a Shabbos, v'loi es a yomtev. It's not deicha yomtev, and it's not deicha Shabbos. Ubein bezmane, bein shaloi bezmane, but whether the bris is bezmane or not bezmane, deicha es a tzeras, it is deicha the tzeras. So the Rambam is telling us what we saw in the Gemara. The Gemara told us that Mila is always deicha tzeras. Ketzat, what's the case? Shem hoisa beheris bo'or. Ha'orla, if there happens to be a tzeras right in the makam ha'orla, choyt chayim ha'orla. So you cut off the tzeras with the orla. I frek the Rambam af bishak tzitzas nega tzeras b'leis asay. I when you're going to cutting off the orla, you're going to be violating the law of cutting off a tzeras. Yavay asay v'yitches leis asay. Don't worry about it, says the Rambam. Asay decha leis asay. So the kasha we have is it's against our Gemara. It's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says it's because of the special gzeiras hakasav of Bisar. The Gemara, the way we read it, seems to say that's not true. That mila is, that tzaras is not just a lav. Tzaras is a lav and an asay. And we have a principle, ein asay doicha lois asay ve'asay. So how did the Rambam learn our Gemara? That was the kasha we started to talk about a few weeks ago. So we mentioned the Mishnah Lamelech has a pshat. The Mishnah Lamelech's pshat is that there's another Gemara later on in the Masechta, the next Amud really, where the Gemara quotes from Rabashi. Rabashi says, what's an example of Asay Deuch Alois Asay? Mila B'Tzaras. Mila B'Tzaras is not Asay Deuch Alois Asay. Says the Mishnah Lamelech, it's Machlokes HaGemaras. This Gemara seems to think it's not, and that Gemara thinks to think it is, and the Rambam went with that Gemara. That's how the Mishnah Lamelech learned the Rambam. Yeah.
I mean, maybe you could say that. Ultimately, it is
asay doch
los asay, but in
this case,
it has to be
an asay
and a
los
asay.
Ah, okay, good.
So
Bissar
is teaching me that even though we have an
asay
and
a
los
asay,
we're still
going to
apply the rule.
Okay, good. That's the other way, perhaps, to learn. The Rambam Kurlan, the Gemara is saying that even though normally, well, again, what is the Rambam Shita?
But clearly, the Rambam was aware of asay doch los asay because he mentions Yontif.
Good. That's what I get to in a second. Right. Okay.
Not that Rambam wasn't aware of
right. Right. He knew the rules. Right. So let's get to that. That's a good point. There's a Tosfos over here, number 4. Tosfos has a kasha. Tosfos says 1 second. Vim toimar v'hadikayim l'andei nasei doiches lois asei vasei nigmar memila b'tzaras de'dochi. Tosfos is assuming that pshat in our Gemara is that avada mila is an asei, tzaras is a lois asei vasei, and Bissar teaches me that asei doiches lois asei vasei. That's what the Gzeiras HaKasav.
In general, or in this case?
At least in this case. So, Fred Tais is Akasha. Learn out from here. Thank you. Learn out from here. L'chol HaTorah Kula. That Asay, Dechalois, Asay Va'asay. So, how was Tais learning the Gemara? Tais was learning the Gemara is that we're reverting back to Asay, Dechalois, Asay. We have the Kasha of Ein Asay, Dechalois, Va'asay. Here's the exception to the rule. So, Fred Tais, if here the exception to the rule is, let's learn it out. L'chol HaTorah Kula. That Asay, Dechalois, Asay Va'asay. Oh, okay, good, good. That's always a question. I mean, I would have learned the Gemara differently. I would have learned that it's not working al-Sayyid al-Khalay Sasei. It's working al-Saribay Hakra. Meaning, if you work with the rules of, it's not, don't look at it as asay de'chaloy sasei vasei. That's not the lomnus over here. The lomnus is avigzer sakasa that tells me, do this and do that and don't worry. The Tosfos, at least in this kash, is assuming that the mechanics over here are working with the theme of asay de'chaloy sasei vasei. It doesn't work. The exer sakasa here teaches me it does work. So, Frank Tosfos.
I learned that from the lashon of the Gemara. It should simply be that the asay losasei mahalach falls. And we have a Gezeris Akasa.
That's what I would have thought, yeah. That's what I would have learned. Tosfos is assuming not like that. Tosfos is assuming if you have a Gezeris Akasa, so the assumption of the Gemara was we work with the original logic which is Aseh Dechalisa of Aseh. We normally don't do that. Here we do it. You might be able to say it differently. You might be able to say that Lamais at the end of the day, this is the outcome. And Aseh is beating at Alaysa Seva Aseh. You want to tell me it's not with that mechanics, it's with this mechanics, but look at the final result. The final result is here is an Aseh.
Yep, that can't teach you a klal in how you can learn.
Why not?
Because there's a reason for it.
Oh, we don't know the reason.
Because the Gezeres HaKosov could have stood on its own without anything. So how can it teach you that in Mahal?
Perhaps.
Perhaps. It now comes.
I think that's the Chiddush of the Sefer. I agree with you. I thought like you. When I learned the Gemara, I assumed like you. Tosis,
why is he saying
not sure. I'm not sure why Tosis is not nachas to our way of learning. It sounds like Tosis wants to keep it with the mechanics that the Gemara set up before. So Tosis has a good kashas. What's his answer? No, there's a built-in pircha. And Mila is so unique that it has Yud Gimel Brises. The Gemara says over and over, that's 13 Brises. The Torah wrote the word Bris 13 times by Mila. That's a Mila, whatever Pshat is that is. And therefore that Mila is why only over here, Aseh Deichalois Aseh Vaseh, but nowhere else is Aseh Deichalois Aseh Vaseh.
I should be able to learn it without
us. So we had that in the Rajba. The Rajba had such a possibility in the Gemara earlier, that you can say over here, that was the Havni of the Gemara, that over here you could say Aseh Deichalois Aseh Vaseh, because you can Nikrusu Olay Yud Gimel Brises. And therefore, that should be able to beat out. The Rajb was going that. They're saying in the Maskana. So according to Taisus, it comes out that Mila is unique. Why? But by Mila, we apply the rule of Aseh Dechaleis Aseh Vaseh. That's the takeaway. According to Taisus, Halacha Lamaisa, by Bris, we do say Aseh Dechaleis Aseh Vaseh.
You can't just ignore the Xeris Akasid that the Gemara says. Still from
Yimil, Bessar, right, so Taisus will tell you from Bessar I learn out that the Torah wants, because Milo is so important, that only by Milo is the Aseh so powerful that it can beat it at Alois Aseh us.
Yeah,
nowhere else.
It's still going to say that's the local din.
It's only by Bris. But there's going to be another problem. Frek the Marsha, number 5, 1 second. That's still going to be a problem. Why? Because we all know that Milo Shaloi Bismano is not Doiche Yomtif. Why not? Because Yomtif is an Aseh and Alois Aseh. That's the rule. So, frek the Marsha, 1 second. But according to this Tosfos, yes, normally, ain't asay deich alois asay vaasay, but Bris is special. Bris is unique. Bris can have the ability to have an asay deich alois asay vaasay. So, frek the Marsha, number 5, achyesh the daktik, dein terutz maspit. Hocha. Dakati koshal, Ravashi, the lakamon de milo shlib is mani in deich yomtiv. Ravashi is of the opinion that milo shlib is mani is not deich yomtiv. What do you mean? What about Mila Shlub Ismanei? What about our Gemara? We already learned that Mila is Doichet Saras, even if it's a Shlub Ismanei. That means it's a one Asay versus a Asay and a Lois Asay. What are you going to tell me? We're talking about a Bris Mila.
But only because you had the
Zeres
Kassuk, which was local to Negayim.
No, Xerxes Kosovo was Bissar. No. Xerxes Kosovo was Bissar. That's by Mila.
Yeah, right, Bissar didn't it teach you specifically in
a Negev? No. It teaches me about the power of Mila. It teaches me that the power of Mila is so strong that Mila's Doicha, whatever, up against.
I thought Rashi had said that Bissar comes to teach you, that extra Lima comes to teach
you. Yeah, but the Lima was written by Mila. It wasn't written by Tsaras. It was written by Mila.
To teach you about Tsaras.
No, to teach me against. I would learn that to teach me against. That Mila goes up against anything. Whatever you throw at me, you throw me an assay, you throw me a lav, you throw me an assay, and Alois Aseh, I'll knock everything out.
Thing. It's only din in the Bissar. When there's a problem in the Bissar, then it's
not. Again, what do you mean?
But no,
again, the Pasuk is talking about cutting off the Bissar. So the Torah says, you cut off the Bissar. You got to make sure this Bissar gets cut, because it's the most important mitzvah in the world. Whatever you're going to throw at me against it, whether it be an assay, Alois Aseh, assay of Yom Tif, an assay of Tzarat, whatever it is, Bissar beats it out. So frek the Marsha, if that's the Lamdis, so then it should even beat out the Yom Tif. So if you look over here in the bottom left corner from the Hagoyis and Marsham, the Marsham, besides writing his very famous Shas and Shuvah Sefer, so he has Hagos on the Masechta. So he writes over here, Ktsatz, he says, Ktsatz, this again, the Marsha is the one who asked the Kasha, right? Frek the Marsham, there's a steer in Marsha. There's a Marsha in Idarim who says, the Milosh Lebizman, Ali Nichesu Alei Yud Gimel Brises. The Marsha is of the opinion in Idarim that we don't say Nichesu Alei Yud Gimel Brises if it's a Milosh Lebizman. So this would answer the kasha. This answers the whole kasha. Your Toisvis was talking about Amila Bismanoi. Amila Bismanoi, then we say Yud Gimel Brisus. If it's Amila Shaloi Bismanoi, there's no Yud Gimel Brisus, so therefore you have no right to learn that. I say the Chalais, I say the Vase anymore. So everything is beautiful. So, fact the Masham, why didn't the Masham just answer that? Masham knew this.
No, but by Tsaras, it doesn't matter. Amila Bismanoi is also
Doche by Tsaras. By Tsaras, it is, right. That's the only problem. Toisvis is sounding like in his rule that he's telling me, when can I say I say the Chalais, I say Vase? That's only because of the Chumra of Yud Gimel Brisus. Which he's applying across the board. Right, right. So, in fact, the Marsham, if the Marshal would put into mind what he said in the Darim, this wouldn't be a kasha from Yom Tif. Because by Yom Tif, you wanted to talk about a Shaloi Bismanai case. Okay, interesting. We mentioned this comment from the Marsham once before, that maybe there's no Yud Gimel Brisus on Amila Shaloi Bismanai. So this is the, now, if you don't like the Rambam, none of these are kashas. Because according to the Rambam, that we don't paskin that Mila B'Tzeras is Aseh V'Lois Aseh. Mila B'Tzeras is just a regular life, so everything is beautiful. It's Aseh D'Ech Alois Aseh, it's beautiful. Yom Tif is not a kasha, because Yom Tif is Aseh and Alois Aseh. Tzeras is only a love. Everything is beautiful. No kashas. Life is perfect if you go like the Rambam. We don't have any of these problems.
Is that
the Okay, if you learn the Rambam, the Mishlam El's Pshat. The Mishlam El's Pshat is, there's two separate Gemaras. One Gemara holds Tzeras as both, and one Gemara holds not. And the Rambam one with that Gemara. That's one way to learn the Rambam. Now, there's another mahalach to learn the Rambam, which is the Dvar of Ram's mahalach. It's not his chiddush. He quotes it from Reb Nissen Goin. Now, Reb Nissen Goin wrote a commentary on the side of the Gemara, very small. So I figured I'll do everyone a favor. Instead of ruining your eyesight, I'll just copy from the Dvar of Ram, and he quotes it word for word, and therefore you don't have to strain your eyes to try to see it. So if you look in the Dvar of Ram, the great Kovner Rav, so he writes like this. He's also trying to figure out Pshat in the Rambam, why the Rambam thought that Mila B'Tzeras is Aseh D'Chalois Aseh against the Gemara that seems to say it's not like that. So he writes the following. He says, Achazman Heir Aseh Hashem Es Einai Re'isi Shadvar Meforoshim B'Rabbeinu Nissen Goin. He says, I found the Pshat for the Rambam is really Meforoshim B'Rabbeinu Nissen Goin. What does he write? He says, Zelo Shayne, Tenech Godel, Motzanu Kosebo B'Sarul Aseh, Da'as Aseh V'Dechalois Aseh, V'Tzuchanu She'ivor Lonu Dover Zeh Lahasim B'Daitoi, Masha Hoya Oila Lol Shema Honu Soivim Zeh Shekos of Lishma Me'oid, What's the Beinu Nissen Goin's pshat? You know what the kamashmul of the Gemara of Besar is? Not that Aseh Deicha Lois Aseh V'Aseh. Kamashmul of Besar, that Tzeras only has a lav greater. The Rabbeinu Nissen Goin learned the kamashmul of the Gemara is not the way we learned. We learned the kamashmul of the Gemara is that the original assumption is still there. Tzeras is an Aseh and a lav. But kamashmulon is that Besar overrides that. Says Rabbeinu Nissen Goin, no, that's not the kamashmulon. The kamashmulon is that Tzeras, we got it wrong. Tzeras is not an Aseh and a lois Aseh. Tzeras is merely a lav, and you apply the regular rules of Aseh Deicha Lois Aseh. Now this is very strange. The word Besar, written by Hilchas Mila, is going to be a galah to me Hilchas Tzeras. That's what Nissen Goin's pshat. And Nissen Goin's pshat is that the kamashmula of the extra word by Mila is not revealing Hilchas Mila, it's really revealing Hilchas Tzeras. It's showing me that by Tzeras you only have a lav and not an Aseh, and therefore Aseh Dechalois Aseh. That's what Nissen Goin's pshat. Now, does it fit into the words of the Gemara? Perhaps. It's not against the words of the Gemara. The Gemara is very vague. If the Rambam learned like this, it's also beautiful. If you learn the Rambam like this, you don't have to say like the Mishnah Lamelech that there's two separate Gemaras and the Rambam picked Gemaras. The Rambam learned our Gemara Kipshuta. When the Gemara says, Tamad Loima Besar, the Chiddush Akra is that even though you would have thought Tzeras is Aseh V'Lois Aseh, it's not true. Tzeras is merely a lav, and Aseh D'Chalois Aseh. Also, everything is beautiful.
And what does he do with the Pasuk then? How does he put that in?
Because he'll tell you that the Chiddush Akra, the extra Pasuk of Besar, is being megala to me how to understand Tzeras, which is somewhat strange in my opinion.
No, but I'm saying, but the Pasuk at the end of the day says he's Shomer, and then it also says Lassos. I mean, come on.
Oh, again, Lassos doesn't have to necessarily mean an Aseh. Lassos can mean that, we'll see.
Lassos are called Shayyur.
The lav is still from Hishomer. The Gemara says Hishomer is always a lav. We'll see in a second how to get around the losses. But the Dvar of Ram has a different kasha, perhaps a stronger kasha. He writes like this: Hare the Sover Lehedja, the Kra the Besar Legluye Osam. The whole pasuk was there to be shed light on Mila. The Mila Deicha Tzeras Betera Dechia. Meaning he's learning, this is the way some of you were suggesting before, he's learning that Besar is directly connected to Tzeras. I was learning Besar is an independent din Mila. He's learning that it's a din, I don't know why exactly, but this is really why Nissen Goin is learning, that the Gilei of Besar is directly connected to Tzeras. So what's it telling me? It's telling me that Mila beats out Tzeras. You know why? Because Tzeras is only a lav. And I say, Dechalois Aseh. So he says, "Ubezenicha kushes that Taisvus." Says the Rav Rom, "If you learn like this, it answers up Taisvus's kasha. What was Taisvus's kasha? The name of Mehochadase Dechalois Aseh Vaseh. Taisvus had a kasha. Why do we learn from here that I say Dechalois Aseh Vaseh? What do you mean? According to Nissen Goin, it's not a kasha because our sugi is not a lois Aseh Vaseh. Our sugi is just a lav. Well, skip one line with Nissan going to Echramid, like I love Greda. Behind the Gully Kor, the Bessar. Vizel Hanira Mashikrachti, like McCain, the Kor, the Kor, the Mila, Apiglot Seraz, the Almo, may I say, will I come if there are Yosef Shooter, the Chdush to Krav, the Mila Gufa, the Hocha, I say, the Chalois, I say. He says, well, then Nissan going to learn the very big Chiddish. The simple way of learning the Gemara is where we learn the Gemara. That the Chiddish of Asay of Bessar is telling me that here Asay is the Chalois, I say, Vasay. Nissan going didn't go that route. Nissan going instead went the route that the Gili HaKrush sheds light on Mila's relationship to Tsaras. That Mila beats Tsaras, it must be because Tsaras is only alive and not that extra Asay as well. That's Nissan going's pshat, which is the Rambam's pshat, perhaps a second way to learn the Rambam. Now, there's only one problem over here, which the Dvar Avram points out, which is l'chayra, a very strong question. He says, one second. He says, there's only one kash I have on this pshat. He says, where it says about five lines from the seven lines, he writes, Omnam, the fi Dvar of Kasha. So this pshat is beautiful except for one massive problem. What did the Gemara do after it said the word Bisar? The Gemara says, I have the word Bisar. So according to Nissan going, what's the Gemara's answer? I have the word Bisar. The word Bisar teaches me that Tsaras only carries a lav and not an asay. But then the Gemara goes on and says, one second. That only works the place where it says the word Bisar. Where it doesn't say the word Bisar, how do you know? In fact, the what are you talking about? If I have a Gili HaKor that Bisar taught me that Tsaras only has a lav, then the assumption was Tsaras only has a lav, no matter what age the baby is. Whether the baby's 2 days, or 8 days, and 10 years, and 20 years, why should that change? Bishlom, if you learn like the way we learned, that Bisar is a Gili HaKor, that you have permission to say, I say, Deich Elois, I say, Vasei, so then you would say, Kol Heichad Dechsev Bechsev Be. But hey, that's not what the Torah is doing. The word Bisar here wasn't Megala to me, I say, Deich Elois, I say, it was Megala to me, what Tsaras has. So Tsaras doesn't have a lot, and I say, just a lot. Fine. So what's the Gemara's back and forth?
No, like what you said before, there's no Yerushim Mubris is possible if it's not Dizmanu.
Yeah, but the Gemara's Gili HaKro is that it doesn't... Again, the Gemara's Gili HaKro is that...
But maybe the Gemara's understanding that that's only by Mila Bizmanu, because that's where...
That's where there's no Lav? No. Tsaras, again, forget Mila for a second. According to Reb Nissen Goyen, we're walking away from this Gemara with the new halacha. That if a person cuts off a beharis on his body when it's not a Mila, he did not violate an asay. All he violated was a lav. That's a halacha v'chalotar kula. And I learned it from the word Bisar.
Because if you look, because the Gemara is only worried about the Beinoni, right? The Beinoni who's not Bismana and has no other curse.
No, that's not the Gemara.
Yeah, that's the Beinoni.
No, but the point is he doesn't have the word Bisar.
No, right.
Meaning?
Meaning maybe in that case, I would think maybe I would. No, even if. No, but then we end up, we come up with...
With Tzadashom. We learn Tzadashom, right?
But the Havim would be that in that case, since there's no Onesh, right, and it's not Bismana, maybe I wouldn't say, depending on how you understand how Asadokhul Asasai works. I
mean, you think
that even without the
Asay? Oh, so you want to suggest it's a whole new kash in the Gemara? The Gemara wasn't a follow-up question; it was a different question. The Gemara's question was Naniach. It works with Asay Deichalais Asay. Maybe you can't always say Asay Deichalais Asay over here because X and Y detailed issue. Okay,
it's not Bismano, and there's no English. So what? Maybe I should wait.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. I mean, you want to suggest that the Gemara is not following up? It's really an independent question. All right, I hear. That could be a pshat. That might answer the kasha. If you learn again, the Dvar Avram was learning at the follow-up of Beinoni Menolon is direct connection to the statement before. You're saying it's not a direct connection, there's a break. Okay, I say the Chalais, I say fine. Now I have a new kash. And even in the world of I say the Chalais, I say perhaps over here. Right? Seems like to be a perhaps a mahalach and I answer up the kasha. And the Dvar Avram leaves off Tzorachin on this kasha from Nissan Goyin. Seems to be a very strong question. Then the Dvar Avram suggests another pshat, which I saw brought down B'Shem HaRosh Hashiva, B'Zelag Epstein Zatzal, which Yartse was about last week. But I saw this pshat is already in the Dvar Avram. I don't know who wrote it first, who said it first, but nonetheless, it's a very nice pshat.
The Kovner Rav was older,
but I don't know when.
When
thought about it, I don't know. Either way, it's a nice mahalach, and the mahalach is like this: they both want to suggest the following conclusion. They both want to say the same idea that maybe let's go back to regular learning of the Gemara. The Gemara seems to read that there's an asay and there's a lois to say again halacha lemais. Let's go back a step. There comes out a major nafkamina lahaloch. According to Rav Nissen Goyen, if on a regular Tuesday some guy has a tzaras, he decides to cut it off. What was he over? So according to Rav Nissen Goyen, he was over alois asay. According to Rashi, he was over alois asay vaasay. What about according to the Rambam? So we mentioned last time, 2 weeks ago, the Rambam writes first in Hilchot Tzaras, that if a person cuts off a tzaras, it's only alois asay. That's it, just alois asay. The question is, the way the Dvar Avram wants to learn, he wants to say that perhaps differently. He wants to say that maybe it depends what the setting is. And he reads like this. It's Gavaldik a point. And that's why I photocopied the pasuk for you. What's the pasuk? Hishom b'nega hatzeras lishmar v'lasois. That's the lav. V'lasois k'chol asher yoru eschem ha-kohanim. Do whatever the kohanim tell you. Says the Dvar Avram, when it's a mila b'tzeras, what do the kohanim tell you to do? They tell you to cut off the tzeras. So when is there normally a lav? There's normally a lav when there's no other pre-existing rule. The rule is don't cut off tzaras. So then when you go and cut off tzaras, you violated the hishamer and you violated the velasis. But says the Dvar Avram over here, the velasis was because over here I have asay dechalois asay. So over here, what did the Kaharim tell me to do? Cut that tzaras off. So then when I come to the velasis, I do what the Kohanim tell me. What do the Kohanim tell me to do? They tell me to cut off the tzaras.
How does the Kohanim know what to tell you to cut off?
Because of Asay Dechalois Asay.
But there's an Asay
at Lose. No, so they're learning that the Asay falls. Right, it's not a regular Asay. A normal Asay is an independent Asay. There's no independent Asay over here. The whole Asay is, listen to what Chazal say. Listen to what the Kohanim say. Over here, the Kohanim say, hey, Asay Dechalois Asay. So therefore, says that Dvar Avram. And over here, the Kohanim are the ones that are telling you to cut off the Beharis. So over here, they're the ones that are telling you to do the Mila. So over here, it's an Asay Dechalois Asay. Now, there's only one problem with this chat.
First of all, why didn't it say Lassus? It call it everything that Akash Borah.
That's cash on the Torah, but the way the Torah writes it's very good. It says Velasis Kachol Sheyoru Eschem Hu Hakayhanim Halavim Kashet Yivisam Tishmu. You got to do whatever they tell you. Here they're telling you go cut off the bris. The only kashim is it doesn't work with the Rama and Hachas Tzaras. Because according to the Rama, if you taka according to this pshat, if you were to cut off a regular Tzaras on a Tuesday afternoon, you should be over an Asay and Alay Sase. We mentioned that the Rama doesn't write like that. The Rama seems to write that you'd only be over. And a laugh. L'chayr, according to the Dvar Avram's pshat, it shouldn't be that way. But it's l'chayr, a very nice mahalach from the Dvar Avram that over here the asay is different. Over here the asay is mitlatoli. It's kind of hanging in the air to fulfill whatever Chazal tell you. Over here Chazal tell you to cut it off, and Chazal want you to cut off the tzaras. That's how his mahalach is in understanding this pshat over here. Okay. There's a Rashi over here that I want to talk about. Rashi says, back on number two. Rashi says on the Gemara Beinuni, the Gemara said, I understand where you have a case of Bissar. Bissar was written by a Katan or by a Gadol. What about the Beinoni? Who's the Beinoni? Zok Rashi number two. Kigoin Shaloi Bezmanoi. He's a beyond 8 days. It's not a Mila Bezman anymore. Velabar Oinshim. He's no longer Oinshim. But V'aviv Mitzuva Olaf. But the dad still has to do the bris. Nafkolon, how do you know that? Because it says in the Pasuk, Hi Molochem Kol Zachar. Says in the Torah, Himolachem Kol Zachar, you must give a bris to all males. So from this pasuk, you learn that a father has an obligation to give a bris to his son, even if his son is above the 8 days old. So now this is what I want to get into a little bit. Is this so pashut that the father has a chiyuv after 8 days? So there's a Gemara in Kedushin in number 9. The Gemara tells us the following: Minala Lemoyloi, famous Mishnah Kedushin Daf Chav Tes. Mishnah says that one of the jobs, obligations of the father is he must give his son a bris mila. So Gemara says Minala, how do you know dad has to give a kid a bris? Because it says in the pasuk, "Vayimol Avram es Yitzchak binoi." Avram Avinu gave Yitzchak a bris, and it says in the Torah that Avram Avinu gave Yitzchak a bris. Now, just when was what was the end of that pasuk? "Vayimol Avram es Yitzchak binoi." How old was Yitzchak? Yitzchak was 8 days old. So the question is, do I only learn from here that the father's obligation is aim by el chedushay? You can only take the storyline. What was the storyline? He was 8 days old. So the father's obligation was only at 8 days old. After 8 days old, the father no longer has an obligation. Says the Gemara, "Heichad le'malu avua." But what happens if the father does not give the kid a bris? Mechayve beidin le'memle. Then Bezin has to give a bris. Tichsev, he mor lachem kol zachar. Now that was the pasuk that Rashi quoted, referring to the father. Very strange. Menachas Chinuch makes this ha'ara. The Rashi seems to have quoted the wrong pasuk. Rashi seems to learn that from the pasuk of he mor lachem kol zachar, I learn that a father has the obligation to give his bris, a kid's bris, even after 8 days.
According to Rashi, why do you
need two pesukim? I'm going to have to get to that. Let's say Bezin doesn't do it. Mechuyev ihu lemimol nafshe. He then has to give himself a bris. Dechsev oral zocha shaliyimas psara lo sevi nechosel. Right, Gemara ihi menolan dloy mechayve. How do you know she's not mechuyev to give a bris? Dechsev kashetive oisay alekim oisay veloy osa. Famous Gemara. How do you know mom doesn't have a chiyev to give bris? Because it says in the pasuk vayimol avram yisizak benoy. And he says, "Kashet Tziva Oisoy." Hashem commanded him and not her. We'll come back to Taisus, where Taisus talks about why isn't it just based on the rule of mitzvah to say Shazman Grama. Yesterday, Shabbos afternoon, my kids were playing a game. My son was six. My daughter is 2.5. They were playing bris mila games. They were not what you think. Not what you think. They were playing with their dolls and they were switching who's the sandig and who's the moil. So my daughter decided she wanted to be the moil. So
is
I told her.
They hear you preparing.
I don't know. Most kids don't. They go to bris mila. I don't know. My son just had a bris. My nephew had a bris. So they wanted to play. So from the beginning, my son was the sandig, and then my son was the mile. My daughter decided she wants to be both the sandig and the mile. So I told her, I want you to know you're the first sandig girl I ever know about, and you're the first girl mile I know. So I told her, I want you to know it's not so posh that you're allowed to do a bris mila. You're a girl. The Gemara says women are not mechuyev in bris mila. So you should know this is a unique Because so the funny part is when they're trying to do the bris milah, so they take a play knife. So they said, "What do we do now?" So they start cutting the kid's the baby's fingers. I said, "Nope, that's not where it goes." They start cutting the baby's toes. Doesn't go there either. I said, "We'll just leave it at this game. The game is over. Let's go to Kriyas Hashem and we'll move on to the rest of the stuff." And that was the Shabbos afternoon activity. In any case, yeah. So right. So that I did. So my son got that keyboard for himself. He took Sandik and Moil. I told him that's a very special thing to do. So he got Sandik and Moil. We had Kvat. And then they decided they want to play Chasana. So then we had to switch to find a good Masada Kedushin. We had to have Eidim. It was a whole different, that was a different Shabbos afternoon game. Okay. Yeah, that's what happens when we don't have enough board games in the house. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says that the father's Mechoyv and not the mother. But the question is, how do you read the Gemara over here? When the Gemara says that the father has a chiyuv to give his kid a bris milah, and Hecha, but to what extent? So the Minchas Chinuch, a mitzvah beis, klares the shayla. Klares the Minchas Chinuch, v'ani mesupik. Im higdil, when the kid gets older, she mitzvah gam aleha ramye, u'mechoyiv lomol atzmoy. Right, the Gemara says that after, at some point, if Bezdin doesn't do it, then the boy has a chiyuv. The kid doesn't have a bris milah. So klares the Minchas Chinuch the following shayla. Im gam ke mitzvah la'av, v'lei nafke a mitzvah me'itoy. What happens when the kid's now 13? The boy's 13, he never got a bris milah. Did dad's chiyuv go off, and now it's only son's chiyuv? Or it's a multi-chiyuv? Dad has a chiyuv, and son has a chiyuv. What's the lumbus? Or dilma da mitzvah la'avrach b'kat nusay. Or maybe not, says the Menachas Sonach. Maybe the whole mitzvah is only when he's small. Avakish ha'higda, once he becomes 13, ain chiyuv ha'mitzvah la'avrach alav. It's no longer on the father. Father is dismissed from his responsibility. He says, Baruch Shem Patrani, he's done. And now the chiyuv goes solely on the child.
Isn't that a similar question with Bezdin?
Yeah, same Shabbat Bezdin also, yeah. We're gonna, I don't know if we're talking about it today, but the same Shabbat Bezdin as well, yeah. So he says, Meloshin Harav Baal Chinuch, from the Loshin of the Chinuch, Shekasav Almi, Milas Bon of Haktanim, Nirik Tzas Davka Bon of Haktanim. He thinks that he has a deal from the Loshin of the Sefer HaChinuch, that from the Loshin of the Sefer HaChinuch, it's mashma that the Chiyuv is only while the kids are small. After the kids turn 13, they're on their own, the father is no longer responsible. So says in the Chinuch, what's the difference? So he says, V'nafkimina, Dema'av Ba'atzme Moyo Mechoyiv, Loma Ba'atzme Begadlusan. If the father is Mechoyiv, and the father could do it, so he should do it himself. Let's say the kid is 13 and he learned Mila and he somehow wants to do this himself. But the father wants to do it himself. Well, whose mitzvah is it? If it's the father's mitzvah, then he has rights. If it's not the father's mitzvah, he's out of the picture. So then it's completely the kid's. Then they have another nafkamina. Let's say someone takes this 13-year-old boy, brings him to a mile, and gives him a Mila. So you stole someone's mitzvah. So you have to pay. The Gemara says you pay for stealing mitzvahs. Well, whose mitzvah did you steal? Did you steal the son's mitzvah? Did you steal the father's mitzvah? Did you steal both of their mitzvah? What's going on over here? So those are the nafkaminas. So he says, ulechayra, the ikra mitzvah la'av, the choyshev sham b'shas, points out the Menachas Chinuch. If you look in the Gemara in Kedusha Chavtes, so the Mishnah over there gives you a whole list of things fathers have to do for their children. What are some of the things? So you have to give them a bris, pay them a minute, teach them swimming. So my wife played that card with me this summer. My kids don't know how to swim. My wife said, you have to teach him to swim. I said, where does it say? It says in the Gemara Kedushin, you have to teach you to swim. There's only one problem. It's not recorded like that in the Rambam or in Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Salavechik has a piece about this. I saw this once. Where he says, it doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch and Rambam, they have to teach your kids to swim. So he suggests the following. Because today, swimming is not essential as it used to be. He got to argue today, you might have to teach your kids how to drive a car. Because that's essential. You can't get to work. You can't get from point A to point B. Today, how many of us end up in the water? It's not such a common way of travel. So in the times of the Gemara, where everything was water, or if you live in Italy, what?
Everybody swam to work.
No. Everyone, there was more. You were on the water more.
Venice,
right. The Gemara says that the reason why you have to teach your son to swim is because it's dangerous. What happens is, how many times we're going on boats?
They were always on boats.
So I argued this to my wife. I lost, of course, that case. But but that's one of the things the Gemara does. Says you have a chiyuv to teach. That's what the Gemara says. But it's not recorded, not in the Rambam, not in the Shulchan Aruch. So points out the Minchas Chinuch of all the things you have to do. So let's look at them. You have Mila, Pidyon HaBen, and marry them. Now, when do all these chiyuv end? So says the Minchas Chinuch in the second group of lines. He says, "Olasi ishavadi begadlusay." Obviously, you don't have a mitzvah to marry your son until he's 13. Then after 13, he's on his own. Right? We don't exactly expect the 14-year-old kid to pay for his chasana. That's not going to happen. So obviously, your parent's job is to marry him off, even if he's already a gadol. Imkein the moilu l'ftoisi nami. So says the Minchas Chinuch. Well, if they're all lumped together, so one could assume that they all follow the same rule. So mila, pidyon haben, marriage, they're all things that you have to do even after they get older. I guess Talmud Torah also. You have a chiyuv to teach your son Torah even after he turns 13. That's why we pay for our kids' high school education and post high school or whatever, because the chiyuv continues. Ach mikol makom tzorichin, the chaladvar, mi'alfin yisham mikra. Says the Minchas Chinuch, but not so fast. All those things that a father has to do for his child is only from a pasuk. It doesn't say anything about being small. It says b'chor of your son. The golden army b'chor b'chalal. It says over there, redeem your son. Okay, he's still your son, even if he gets to 15 or 16. Where do we learn that you have to teach your son Torah? It says v'shinantam livanecha, to your son. Well, he's your son no matter how old he gets. Where do we learn that you have to marry off your son? Because that's the pasuk, take for your sons. Says the Menachas Sanach, an important lesson in life, that they are your sons, no matter how old they are, no matter what state of life they're in. Aval gabi mila de ikra yafusa da'av mitzov abenoi hu min ha-pasuk. The point says the Menachas Sanach, by mila doesn't say that. It doesn't say give your son a bris. It says, by yimol, it says a fact. Avraham Avinu gave a son to his son. Kashetziva oiselakim. Again, it does say the word benoi. But it's not referring to your son, it's referring to Avram Avinu's son. Hashem told Avram Avinu, give a son to your brit, give a bris to your son. Even if your chiyuv extends after 8 days, says the Menachas Chinuch, but that's while the kid is 3 months, or 3 years, or 8 years. He thinks very strongly that we split the mitzvahs. Marriage and pidyon haben, those are all say your son. He's your son forever. You're stuck with him no matter what. But when it comes to meal, it doesn't say your son. It says Avraham Avinu gave a bris to his son when he was 8 days old. The Torah specifies that bit of information. So the Menachas Chinuch thinks that bit of information is the deal breaker, that it's only as long as he's a katan. Once he becomes a gadol, boy's on his own. Father no longer has to pay for the bris meal. Now there's raya's mefureshes in Rishonim. Yeah.
This pasuk by Avraham obviously before Matan Torah, and this parak, right, discusses that our chiyuv mila has nothing to do.
Correct.
Because Avraham gave a son a mila. Yeah. Then the Torah is chashal halacha.
Right, right. For some reason, this
halacha.
That's a good question. That's a strong question. The Maisa, we blibe with this. I think we stick at the makar of the father's chiyuv is from Avraham Avinu, even though it was before Matan Torah. It's a strong question. The Darki Moshe quotes a kolboy. The kolboy writes a number 11. V'huad din av a bezdin. Bezdin, or the father, every day that delays, oivim ba'aseh. What do you mean every day? It's only every day until the kid hits 13. Once the kid hits 13, he's out of the equation. So the chayv you see from the kolba, it's not true. That the father's chayv continues every day, no matter how old he is. And the Rambam Pirshah Mishnah is even more mafurish. The Rambam writes, ukhshi yagdel hayeled, v'yagil zman chayv ha-mitzvah, nifter kol adam mimil asay. Everyone else is exempt. V'neschayv hu lomol as'atz mimiyad. Then he has a chiv. So you see opposite opinions. The kolboy was of the opinion that the father's chiv extends even after the child becomes an adult. While the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnah seems to hold the other way, that the father's obligation ends, as does Bezdin. He's clear. Right? He says, Nifta kol adam mimilasa. That l'chay would even include Bezdin. Once the kid's a big boy, he's on his own now. No one else is responsible for his mitzvah's mila.
According to Rashi, is not a problem on him. So he learns him
Rashi seems to be going like the Rekeach, like the Kolboy. Rashi holds that even after the boy is no longer Bekatnusa, the father still has a Chiyuv. Now you could argue, what was Rashi talking about over there? According to the Menachas Chinuch, Rashi was talking about a Beinoni. What's a Beinoni? So, depends how you learn Beinoni. Rashi himself learned the Beinoni was between 8 and 13. So if it's between 8 and 13, according to Menachas Chinuch, it's not a Raya anyways. Because it could be the father's Chiyuv is until he's 13. So it's not such a Raya from Rashi.
Are you open and I say every minute you know.
That's the machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid. Yeah. We assume like the Ravid, that you're not over until it's too late to ever do it. Because since that's the Ravid's kash and the Rambam, you always have a chance to do it, so you don't get cursed. That's the machlokes Rambam and the Ravid. Now there's a Taisvus in Kedushin that also weighs in on this shaila. Taisvus says like this in number 13. Vim Toimar, lo malikra. Why do I need a pasuk to exempt women from the mitzvah of mila? Tebiglei the mitzvah shez magromu. Of course, women are not mechuyev in mila because mila is a time sensitive mitzvah. Women are never mechuyev in time sensitive mitzvah. So why are women mechuyev in the mitzvah of mila? Mishloim says Taisus, no kivin the miyam hashmini va'olah ain lo hefse, because after day 8 there is no longer a stop to the chiyuv lav zman gramuhu. It's not called zman grama.
What do you mean?
Oh, so that's Taisus. The next piece of that Taisus. What do you mean? At 13, you're no longer obligated. The father or mother's job would only be until 13. So why does Taisvah say, Kivan debiyar mashmid v'ol le'ein lehefsik? It's not true. There is a hefsik. When the kid turns 13, mom and dad are excused. So the chayr, you see from Taisvah, that Taisvah is of the opinion, not like that. Taisvah is of the opinion, like the cowboy, that Taisvah holds that the father's obligation, or that perhaps would have been the mother's obligation, extends beyond his katnusoy. It goes even beyond katlusoy. The father's obligation is together with the mother.
So how does that work? In other words, until 13, the parents are mechuyev. Once he's 13, the kid's mechuyev, but he doesn't get an einish till he's 20.
None of them. According to who? According to Taisus?
Yeah.
According to Taisus, they're both mechuyev.
No, that's till he's 13.
No, according to 13, just the father. No. While he's a katan, it's just the father. Now that he turns 13, they're both mechuyev.
Meaning dual. The kid and the father.
Kid and the father, dual.
But so where does 20 come into effect? That he doesn't get
part of that we spoke about 2 weeks ago.
7 years ago?
That we spoke about. It's not the positive that 20 is correct. Whether or not there's such a din of 20 with curse. That was Rashi on number 2. Rashi had such a comment like that. Rashi seems to
validate.
Yeah, that's what we spoke about. Okay,
according to Tosfos, the mother from day 8 and on would be?
Whoever would have been mechuyev. Again, the Gemara is saying, Tosfos Kasha was time sensitive. The answer is not time sensitive, because even though you can't do it until day 8, but once it starts, it never ends. And normally, a Zman Grama has a starting time and an ending time. This doesn't have an ending time. So Tosfos, what do you mean it doesn't have an ending time? Of course it has an ending time. After 13, the mitzvah ends. Teretz is, you see from Tosfos, Tosfos holds not like that. The Sefer Bikuri Abba. Michael, who wrote Bikuri Abba?
No clue.
Bikuri Abba was written by Rabbi Abba Branspiegel. Oh. Baba Branspiegel wrote a sefer called Bikuri Abba. So my Rebbe is a son-in-law by him, my father learned by him. So it's a great sefer, but I urge you all to read his Hagdom. If you ever read a sefer, the Bikuri Abba is a fascinating introduction. I heard about this once from Rabbi Simon in a Chumash, and I actually looked it up. It's a moving piece where he talks about the Holocaust. Rabbi Branspiegel was a small child in the Holocaust, and he writes something fascinating. I spoke about this on Tisha B'Av, about the Holocaust, where he writes what the most unique element of the Holocaust was, where it came from. He writes that you have a country like Germany that prided themselves on being so professional, being so beyond everyone else, so much more intelligent and well-read and advanced, and from such a supposedly high-level country came out such a horrific type of thing. It's a moving piece. If you ever get a copy of the Sefer, he has different simonim. I don't think it's not a very big Sefer, but he has different simonim where he talks about different inyanim. But over there in his Akdom, it's very moving how he discusses. He says, I was very little at the Holocaust, but I was moved by that. He says, I was also moved by the fact that there were Yidden that were suffering terribly, that would not give up anything for the Yerushalayim. They would daven and they would learn despite the worst conditions you can meet. They would still daven and they would still learn. He said that was something that lasted with him his entire life. So in his Sefer Bikuri Abba, so he discusses this Shail of the Minchas Chinuch. So he writes, what was the Minchas Chinuch Safik? The Minchas Chinuch wasn't sure. Do we say that at 13 the father's obligation falls off and the son's obligation is by himself, or it's a dual type of chiv? So he writes, V'nirli Levaras Sveker. He says, I'll tell you a lomdish shepshat in the Safik of the Minchas Chinuch. He thinks the shayla of the Minchas Chinuch is totally in the Chakir, which we've spoken many times about. What's pshat that a father is a chiv to give his 8-day-old son a baby, a bris? It's not the father's chiv, it's really the son's chiv. An 8-day-old baby has to get a bris. But it's impossible. We can't expect 8-day-old babies to do anything. So we take their chiv and we make the parents responsible for their chiv. But we always call it like an apotropos. Meaning, it's not my obligation, but I'm caring for you. So through my job as a parent, a guardian, that's what we have in secular world, where a person wants to take care of his child's estate. So he's considered the guardian on the estate. So here also, I have no mitzvah to give my son a bris. My son has a mitzvah to get a bris. But because my son can't do it, I'm the closest person to him, so the Torah kind of threw the chiv on me. But it's not my chiv. It's his chiv that I, so to say, have to do. That's the fact. The fact was Avram Avinu did it. Question was why? Did Avram Avinu do it as his own independent chiv, or was he acting as a guardian for Yitzchak and fulfilling Yitzchak's chiv?
That's a lot to read into the pasuk. Pasuk pshat is that he did it.
No, he definitely did. No one's denying that he did it. Avram Avinu did give the bris. Question was whose obligation was he fulfilling? So that's one side. The other side is not like that. That the father has certain obligations to his children. So that's the old chakir. We've spoken many times about this chakir. So he wants to say like this. If you understand like that, it's the son's chiv. Move on. Then it makes a lot of sense. If it's the son's chiv, it's just that I can't do it, so I need your help. So then it's very logical that when I don't longer need your help, you get kicked out. Again, this sad doesn't have to go this way, but he says, but if you go the other way, that if it's an independent chiyuv, you're talking. It's possible. Shigam la'achu shehigdol adayin chayvu. So he wants to tell you that this machlokes b'shayin, the way we're developing it based on the hakir of the Minchas Chinuch, might be totally in the good old shayla of how to look at the mitzvah. If the father has an independent chiyuv, so that it's possible, it's not muchach, you can argue this, but it's possible that that chiyuv will continue even though the child becomes 13. But if you're looking at that, it's really the son's obligation, but the father's filling in, stepping up to help the son because the son can't. So then when the son is available and able, then it's very likely that the son would become the sole chiyuv and the father would be removed. Right, then you can argue. Maybe when
13 he's not.
Right, so maybe you can argue he needs a little bit more time till he gets his act together. But then he has another piece. I think that's a nice piece in Lomdus to be toil in this Chakira from the Minchas Chinuch. And then he has another piece wherever he quotes from Rabbi Soloveitchik, where he writes, number 14, Bivayim Minchas Chinuch Shechiach, Shigam Achinuch Savakai Rambam, Shemilos Aben Pokachiv Av Mishiagdol. That the Minchas Chinuch says that he has arrived from the Chinuch and the Rambam, that the Milos Aben goes off once he becomes a Gadol. That's the Rambam in the Pirshei Mishnayos also. He doesn't mention this. But if you look in the Rambam Pirshei Mishnayos, it's very nice. The Rambam Pirshei Mishnayos says that once the boy hits 13, dad is exempt. So frak to him, v'imkein yiksha, ma'ishna me'mitzvahs pidyon ha'ben, me'mitzvahs milas ha'ben. Frak to him, 1 second. If you accept the notion like the Rambam, so why is it when it comes to mila, dad's exempt? But when it comes to pidyon ha'ben, dad's not exempt. So Minchas Chinuch really answered this kasha. Minchas Chinuch told us it's because of the wording of the pasuk. By pidyon ha'ben, it says the word your son, and therefore he's your son even after 13. But why Mila doesn't say that? But he comes up with a different shot. He quotes from Rabbi Soloveitchik. He writes Shemati Meivi Rebbe Agari Beis Dov Soloveitchik Shlita, and the sefer came out in 1978 or 79. So Rabbi Soloveitchik was still alive. So he writes,
he was still in YU,
still for many more years. he'd still be in YU for many more years to come. He only left relatively recent. I listened, someone sent me a shmooze that he gave, his last shmooze in YU, where he spoke about why he was leaving to go to Lander College. So he was speaking about his relationship with Rabbi Soloveitchik, with the Rebbeim, why he's leaving the yeshiva, right? It's not because it is, not because, very politically correct, drusha. It's YU Torah, you can listen to why he was leaving and what his memories are from Rabbi Soloveitchik, from other Rebbeim that he had in the yeshiva. Very nice piece. But he left with he tried to make it as parav as it could be, even though if you speak to those who knew him well, know him well, we'll tell you that there's other stories there as well. But in any case, so he quotes a very nice difference Rabbi Soloveitchik. He writes like this. What's the difference? So he says there's a lomdish difference over here. Very geshmak apshat. Shevipidyon ha-ben milvad shezeh mitzvah la'av kvachal shibud alov liftoisoy. So Rabbi Soloveitchik, there's money involved in pidyon ha-ben. Whenever there's money, there's chiyuvim that are start, those chiyuvim don't just fall off. If the shibud is chal, the shibud can't just fall off. Now you could argue the shibud is created connected to the chiyuv. If the chiyuv ceases to exist, one would have assumed the shibud falls off as well. But Rabbi Soloveitchik is assuming that once that momentous obligation was set into motion, that obligation of pediyah was put into play, that just can't be removed on its own. So therefore the pidyon ha-ben lasts even after this time. But mila is not a momentous chiyuv. Mila is a physical chiyuv. You got to do the bris mila. Yes, it might cost you money, but it's not a direct momentous chiyuv, and therefore mila ends after katnus, while pidyon ha-ben doesn't. Again, this is really beyond our sugya. Very geshmak alumdus for the difference between mila and pidyon ha-ben.
What's the ikur and what's the tough? I mean, by bris, I mean, both cases there's mitzvah on the child and the father, right? But by bris, even if you know however you want to do the lomdus, but the ikur chiyuv is on the son. The father's only secondarily chayiv, even if you want to say...
You're assuming it's not 50-50.
Right.
You're assuming it's like a 75-25.
Right. The
I don't know.
Is on the child, and then the child can't or won't or whatever, then the father...
That's how you learn this side of the Minchas Chinuch.
As opposed to...
It has to be that... Yeah.
With the ikur is on the father, then if the father doesn't do it, then the son has to step in.
So when the kid's 14, who has the chiyuv? That's then 50-50 by Pidyon ha-ben?
By
pigeon
or bed? Yeah. I would think
it's the father's chiyuv, but...
Yeah, all the
wrong. I mean, the son's not involved at all, you're suggesting.
Right.
But the Gemara... won't do it, then once he becomes...
So you're suggesting what you're saying. Right, so then when the Gemara says when the father doesn't do it, the son does, you're saying that's not together, that's secondary.
Right.
Okay, could be. It's on my to-do list one day. I would like to learn Kiddushin Daf Chav Tes here Sunday mornings. We'll get them one day, I hope, Mitzvah Shem. These are the sugi, Shemaka sugi. What? We got the Daf A. I think we got the Daf Zayin. We got the Arif. We stopped there.
But that took us 4 years.
That took us 4 years. So just think about what it would take us to get the Daf Chav Tes. But big chalev, you got to dream big in life. If not, you don't get anywhere. But yeah, these are Shemaka sugi that we have to deal with.
Yeah. Why does the kid ever have a chiyuv? It's always a chiyuv on the father, unless the father's dead.
No, the Gemara makes drush. It's not like that. The Gemara says the father can't do it, the son has to do it.
How's he paid to himself?
Gives the money. It's a problem. It's a chiv moment. It's to the kohen.
But doesn't the pasuk the exerus akasuv say that it's
no,
as
learns,
a father?
Gemara learns from a pasuk that if he doesn't do it, then someone else has to do it. Gemara makes drushes.
And you mean it's the same thing, and also Bezdin may have a chiv
mother. Bezdin the Gemara says not because I think the Gemara says by the Rishonim point this out that by Bezdin there's no chiv because it costs money. We can't make Bezdin do things that cost money, even though today bris milah costs money also.
Right.
But I'm glad I'm learning in my yeshiva, this is man, Elzman, we're learning Kedushin Daf Chavtes. I'm very excited. So this is like my way of getting into this sugya. So these are Geshmaka sugyas that come up in Kedushin Daf Chavtes, but we're going to try to stick to Rebbe Elazar the Mila for now. Now, why is Asay Dech Alayis Asay? Everyone knows Asay Dech Alayis Asay. Why? Where does this come from? So there's Ramban and Chumash, believe it or not. Ramban and Parshas Yisrei. Comes up in this week's Parsha also, Parshas Veschanan, where the Ramban discusses Zachar v'Shomer. Ramban points out, what's Zachar? Zachar is an Asay, Shomer is a Lav. So Shabbos carries an Asay and a Lois Asay of Zachar v'Shomer. Says the Ramban and Parshas Yisrei, he says a Gavaldic idea. He says, V'emesu, Gamkin Kimida Zachar Ramzei b'mitzvah Asay, that the idea of Zachar is a mitzvah Asay, V'hu Hayoitse Mimidas Ahavo, V'hu Lemidas Harachamim. Says the Ramban, Al Pi Drush. Now, when a person does an asay, he's building a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, do it, you do it. That's called love. You listen, you do something because someone asks you, that shows love. Umidas Shomer b'mitzvahs lois asay, but what's Shomer? That's a love. Like we had over here, Shomer by Neged Saras. V'ul Umidas Hadin. V'yoytze Umidas Hayirim. K'anishma me'asoyiz davara b'enei Adoyin av yoru asay. Why do you not do something? Because you're afraid. You don't want to get into trouble. Doesn't show that you love the person, it just shows you're afraid of the person. So, Ramban, you know why mitzvahs asay is more powerful? Even though, again, the punishment for not doing an asay is not nearly as severe as the punishment for not keeping a lois asay. But Zogdir Ramban, in the eyes of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, an asay is greater. Just like it's always more important to love than to fear. It's more to do what Hashem wants than to be afraid of Hashem. So, Dr. Ramban Chumash, that's why we have a principle of Asay Dechalais Asay. You'll ask me, it doesn't make any sense. Asay is not more important. Alav is more important. You don't keep an Asay, you mevatel Asay, what's the punishment? Nothing. You bring a carbon. Mevatel Alav, you get Malkus, you get massive Oinshim. So, why does Asay beat Alais Asay? Dr. Ramban Chumash, in Pashas Yisra, on the Pasuk of Zachar Vishamar, it comes from the fact that an Asay shows your love for a Kaddish Baruch Hu, while Alav only shows your fear of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Love beats fear, right? Love trumps, what's the lashon, the slogan that they have on the left? Love trumps fear, or something like that. Some line like that they have on the left, right? So love is more important than fear. Kavaldik, it's Ramban Chumash. Love is more important than fear. It's more important to love Hashem, expressed in doing His mitzvahs, than it is to fear Hashem, which is expressed in His loisas. So the Ramban Chumash writes, why is Asay Derech HaLoisas? This is the whole Yivam, right? The whole first five blat Yivam, this is up and down. Asay Derech HaLoisas. How do you know? How do you know? Like, Ramban, I'll tell you why. Because of the idea that Ava is more important than Yira. And the truth is, it's really repeated in the Sefer HaChinuch number 16. The Sefer HaChinuch writes, why is Sefer Chinuch writes like the Rambam that Asay Dechalais Asay by Tzaras? He says, why is that? Ubeelu v'kiyotze b'mari adover k'ilu nemba b'toyer b'feirush loy minaticha mehem b'mekoyim asay zeh. I'm sorry. The Chinuch goes with a different shot. The Chinuch says, you know why Asay Dechalais Asay? Because you have to look at it as if the Torah wrote, do the Asay no matter what. That's what Asay Dechalais Asay. Asay means do. Do despite whatever it goes up against. I will call lav sheish, but kar is loy dechin m'sham asay. But now the Sefer Chinuch has a kash on this pshat. We have a rule, asay is not deich alois asay that has karis. Well, why not? If you tell me the principle is asay do, and don't worry about anything against it, so why should it matter whether or not it has karis? But he writes, hoyul v'hichim rakas v'boi, kokach shechayv alov karis, but because the Torah gave you such a strict punishment on the other end, harei kri ilu omu v'feirish asay dover ploini, kos man shalit starach lava basiyase b'lav ploini. You have to look at the Torah. The Torah is saying not so fast. Red light. Although it's so important to do the asay, but here you have to think twice because it's going up against karis. So the Marik has a kasha. He says, if you learn like this, why is it asay doich alois asay? What's the lashon dechia? It doesn't push it away. You just have to pick which one's more important. So that's a question of how to fit into the words of asay doich alois asay. But in any case, we'll leave off with this Ramban that the reason why asay doich alois asay is because the Ava is better than Yira, and that's why asay is doich alois asay. So next week we'll move on to discuss more nyanim of Milo Bitzara.